Welcome to the John Lothian News Daily Update Podcast for October 23rd, 2023. I'm your host, John Lothian. In this podcast, we provide an overview of the content featured in today's John Lothian newsletter. We'll cover insights from the hits and takes section, share stories from the first read section, highlight the top three stories from the previous newsletter edition, and delve into the first three stories featured in the lead section of today's JLN. This podcast is brought to you by John Lothian News, the proud home of MarketsWiki and MarketsWiki Education. We invite you to explore our extensive collection of trading history videos on the MarketsWiki Education page at johnlothiannews.com. This includes the Open Outcry Traders History Project and the Path to Electronic Trading video series. Thank you for joining us. Here are the hits and takes comments from today's JLN. Who do you think would be a good candidate for this year's class for the FIA Hall of Fame? The FIA Hall of Fame's committee for 2024 has been formed, the applications are online, and FIA is seeking your input for who would be a good candidate. The FIA Hall of Fame celebrates individuals in the listed and cleared derivatives industry who have made key contributions to our markets during their careers. Make a nomination with the link in today's newsletter. The Financial Times has an FT Guides report titled Digital Financial Services, an explainer with the subheadline, Online Trading Platforms and Blockchain Ledger Technology are transforming the way people save and invest. Here, FT journalists explain the applications of these new developments in the retail and institutional financial services industry. The stories include, how is blockchain changing financial services? The technology has yet to make significant inroads into the traditional banking sector. What are digital bonds and how are they issued? The European Investment Bank is one of the institutions leading the way with four such offerings so far. How can blockchain be used to trade bonds? Banks are making use of the technology underlying crypto, but how does it work with highly regulated assets? What is robo-advice, and how can it provide low-cost financial planning? Competitive pricing and easy-to-use investment tools are the main attractions for beginner investors. Robo-advisors, a clickable guide, an interactive graphic explaining how robo-advisors operate. What do digital wealth management platforms offer? The latest services use advanced algorithms and technology to offer clients fully managed portfolios. Why is technology best for checking bank customer identities? Machines aren't just faster than humans at recognizing faces, they're also more accurate. How can data screening help investors meet ESG standards? As demand for exclusionary investments rises, AI especially is evolving to process information on companies' activities. The CBOE's 2024 Risk Management Conference will be in Snowbird, Utah. FIA published a photo gallery of expo highlights from its October 2nd to 3rd event in Chicago, featuring exchange leaders, industry experts, and key regulators. FIA also published a Market Voice podcast of the interview of CME Group's Terry Duffy conducted by FIA's Walt Lucan at FIA Expo, discussing Duffy's outlook for the global economy and commodity markets and CME's future plans. FIA also published a Market Voice podcast of the interview Lucan did with ICE's Jeff Sprecher at Expo, where he discusses data technology, innovation, and the role of ICE in exchange-traded derivatives markets. The World Alliance of International Financial Centers, WAIFC, announced at its AGM in New York the addition of three new members to its board of directors, Obi Ibikui, Enterprise NGR, Lagos, Africa, Joe Moynihan, Jersey Finance, Jersey, Europe, and Myung-ho Ri, Busan Finance Center, Busan, Asia. Kevin Wolf is starting a new position as Chief Financial Officer at American Financial Exchange, LLC. He is also continuing as a lecturer at the Eisenberg School of Management, UMass Amherst. Bob Fitzsimmons of Wedbush is participating in Sleep Out Saturday again this year and raising money for Covenant House. You can read Bob's story and donate by clicking on a link in today's newsletter. To celebrate its 30th anniversary, GH Financials revamped its website, ghfinancials.com. Click on it to see. Hong Kong Exchange and Clearing received the 2023 Partner of Charity Giving Award from the Community Chest of Hong Kong in recognition for Hong Kong Exchange and Clearing's philanthropic efforts and dedication to community engagement. Susquehanna International Group, LLP, SIG, is a new player on Euronext Trader, Euronext's web-based trading interface. ABAX announced some news about $27 million in financing to, quote, complete RMO and ACH license requirements, termination of ATM program, unquote. This news is not for release in the U.S., so if you are a U.S.-based subscriber, please don't read this or listen. Our most read stories last Friday on JLN Options were Bitcoin ETF rumor had a silver lining, and it's apparent in the crypto options market, from Coinbase. Powell signals Fed to stay on hold and keep future hike on table, from Bloomberg. And Japan to counter FX volatility with intervention, says official, from Nikkei. Subscribe to the JLN Options newsletter with a link in today's newsletter. It's free. Here are more stories from the first read section of today's JLN. Here's a story from the Financial Times. The headline, How is Blockchain Changing Financial Services? The technology has yet to make significant inroads into the traditional banking sector. When Blythe Masters, a former J.P. Morgan Chase executive and one of the most prominent financiers on Wall Street, was appointed chief executive of blockchain company Digital Asset Holdings in 2015, many saw it as a sign that the technology for building secure transaction networks would upend financial services. At the time, Masters told Bloomberg News, you should be taking this technology as seriously as you should have been taking the development of the internet in the early 1990s. My comment. When the group from the World Alliance of International Financial Centers was in town last week, I told them, while I believe blockchain may ultimately prove valuable, there has not been a notable win yet that has gained the public's attention. There have been notable losses, which is to be expected for any new technology trying to find a use. Here's a story from Bloomberg. The headline, Another Black Monday may be around the corner. The Federal Reserve's policies threaten the American economy and financial markets. The Federal Reserve's policies are threatening U.S. financial markets and the economy. They are in danger of a steep recession and the risk of a repeat of 1987's Black Monday. Early in the pandemic, the volume of U.S. dollars in circulation soared. For 2 years, starting in March 2020, the M2 money supply, a measure of the cash and checkable deposits in circulation, plus savings deposits and other easily convertible assets, grew at an unprecedented annual rate of 16.5%. That is more than three times the appropriate rate for hitting the Fed's 2% inflation target. My comment. There are two reasons I hate October. One is all the scary movies on during the month. The other is all the scary trading days during the month. Here's another story, this one from the Wall Street Journal. The headline, Who you calling dumb money? Everyday investors do just fine. The average stock portfolio of individual investors has beat the S&P 500 since 2014. Jeff Beckman knew he wouldn't get rich working at a nonprofit, so he invested in the stock market. For nearly four decades, Beckman has steadily contributed to an employer-sponsored retirement plan allocated almost entirely to stock funds. He also bought shares of Apple, Berkshire Hathaway, and Meta Platform through a brokerage account. Now, the 63-year-old's portfolio is worth roughly $1 million, and he has no plans to sell his stocks or rotate toward safer assets, such as bonds, anytime soon. My comment. What is the survivor bias of this statistic? Here's another story, this one from the Wall Street Journal. The headline, America's downtowns are empty. Fixing them will be expensive. Lonely sidewalks and closed storefronts inspire proposals to recast office districts into neighborhoods where people live, work, and raise families. Downtown streets were so crowded in the 1960s that developers conjured up a maze of elevated walkways between buildings, providing winterproof avenues for office workers who filled the central city Monday through Friday. Stores, fast food spots, bakeries, and barbershops lined the covered temperature-controlled walkways, which linked new glass skyscrapers sprouting one after the next. Workers racing to cubicles in the morning kept to the right to avoid crashing into each other, recalled convenience store clerk Monica Bray. My comment. America's cities downtown are starting to look like America's small town downtowns, empty stores and for rent signs. I am just waiting for the first antique store to open on LaSalle Street or Jackson Boulevard in downtown Chicago. Here are the top three stories from Friday's JLN. Our most clicked item on Friday was the petition to the SEC from the Healthy Markets Association weighing in on the spike situation. Second was the job application for Director of Risk Derivatives at Robinhood. Third was a tie between the Markets Wiki page for MGEX and How to Keep the Treasury Markets Functioning, an opinion piece from the Bloomberg editorial board. Here are the top three stories from the lead section of today's JLN. The first story is from Reuters. The headline, CME, quote, in strongest position, unquote, for deals, CEO says, despite rising competition. CME Group is in strong position to make acquisitions armed with low debt and robust earnings, Chief Executive Officer Terry Duffy told Reuters, even as the world's largest derivatives exchange faces rising competition. Exchanges have been consolidating over the years, and some have expanded beyond market-sensitive businesses like trading to pursue more predictable revenue. Here's another story, this one from the Financial Times. The headline, the return of the rice crisis. Export restrictions and extreme weather are threatening the global supply of a staple commodity relied on by millions. Fried rice is normally a popular choice among diners in Lagos, the economic capital of Nigeria. Yet lately, many people have stopped ordering it, says restaurant manager Tony Aladkomo, with the price of the dish shooting up to 4,000 Nigerian naira, that's $5.20, from 1,500 Nigerian naira a year ago. It has stopped being affordable for most, says Aladkomo, general manager of Grey Matter Social Space, a restaurant in the upmarket business district of Victoria Island. Here's another story, this one from Bloomberg. The headline, a shrinking $1.3 trillion securities market is bad for the economy. For a fleeting moment this month, investment bankers in leveraged finance, the lucrative lending that oils the wheels of M&A and feeds the $1.3 trillion market for collateralized loan obligations, had rare cause for cheer. Company valuations were enticingly low for dealmakers. The U.S. Fed looked closer to reversing punishing rate hikes. Loans were getting done. We appreciate your attentive audience for the John Lothian News Daily Update. kindly think about sharing our podcast with your friends. Additionally, if you haven't already, we would be grateful if you could take a moment to leave a review on Apple Podcasts. And if you haven't yet subscribed to the daily John Lothian newsletter email, you can enjoy a complimentary 90-day trial by visiting johnlothiannews.com/trial. Thank you for your support. Have a great day and stay safe and treat people the same way you want to be treated, with respect, equality, and justice. This has been John Lothian. Goodbye. This podcast has been produced by Andrew Lothian.